Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today on The Grave Talks, getting ahead of the dark. When Peter Dowling received a report from his brother that does not believe in the paranormal, to help a friend who was being oppressed, he knew he had to help. Upon digging into the story he was asked to assist on, he began a journey that would be both frustrating and heartbreaking. Peter would see firsthand that no matter what we do as people to help others get out of dark situations, the victims too need to take the first step to get ahead of the dark.
Well, this began when I was contacted by my brother, and he told me that he had a friend that needed help. So I contacted the friend and who had another friend. That sounds kind of complicated.
Friend of a friend of a friend.
Right, exactly. That was having paranormal problems in her home. And so what happened is this person sent me some photographs through her security camera. And I sent you a copy of them myself. So what happened was I drove from Kingston, New York, all the way to Albany, which is about 48, 50 miles. And I got there and I introduced myself and everything.
Did they know you were coming?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Actually, what do you mean? The demonic entities? Or
Well, I guess probably both, quite honestly. Hopefully the people did first, but yes, I guess both.
Well, she became a client after I basically, you know, I asked a lot of questions. You know, we're supposed to do that, you know, make sure, you know, the person's okay and everything else. And the story behind it and what have you. And it sounded legit. And when she sent me the photographs, I automatically knew what I was looking at, being in the field and studying it for so many years. So what I did was we made a date where I show up. And
And I want to find out, you know, what exactly happened. But tell me about these photographs, because, yes, you did send them to me. What, you know, obviously you see these things far more frequently than I do. I am not good at picking things out in any photo that anyone ever sends me. So I'm not professing to be an expert in that. I'm just not good at it. But what was it about these photos that she sent you? Because they are security camera photos. They're quite grainy. They're quite blurry. You know, I have a hard time even looking at it and telling you what some of the physical objects that are there in the room even are. How did this speak to you so much that you said, I really want to drive over here and see what's going on?
When I saw the shadow person, there's one of the photos that I circled that is a humanoid form. That mm-hmm. It's almost a stick figure, and I've seen that. We labeled that as a lower foot soldier, so to speak. And when I saw that, I knew that there was an issue. The other photo, even though it's grainy, there's a human being there, but that's not her. That's it's almost a solid apparition.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering about, because if I were looking at this photo, and that's why I said to you in text the other day, I said, you're gonna have to walk me through these, because I'm not seeing exactly what you're saying, but this is usually where I can understand it better. So I saw that photo, and you're right, I'm looking at it, I'm looking for like a shadow type thing. What I see in it, it looks like, I can't tell if it's male or female. I'm just kind of guessing female, but because it looks like almost whitish camouflage-ish yoga pants. And kind of like a black hoodie is my guess, with like something on it that's white, some sort of design face. And then it almost looks like a hat or something, like a dark hat something is wearing.
Well, actually, the head is distorted, very distorted.
Okay.
But the fact is it looks female.
Yeah.
And it's heavy set, where my client isn't heavy set.
Okay.
That's another thing. And nobody's in that house. I mean, she's got security all over the place on that place. And she's been telling me that she's been seeing things in the corner of her eye movement. Things have been moving around on their own. She had a sense of dread in certain spots of the house. It was all fitting in from my past experiences doing investigations. Mm-hmm. So I went there, and I didn't sense anything. And then all of a sudden, while I was talking to her, I saw just in the corner of my eye, it looked like an imp. It was dark. It was like that foggy figure, that stick figure that you see far away in one of the photographs. But that particular photograph, she has no orange or red pair of pants at all. And mm-hmm. I even went and I checked. Okay, she does not have it. That's not her. And a lot of times when what happened is, these photographs that I showed you, I didn't show you the original ones that was she first sent me. Mm-hmm. I will get them later on and I will send them to you. But these are the pictures that she caught after I did a deliverance in that place. It was a failed deliverance.
These look failed. They look exactly like a person. They do not look like it's something supernatural.
Yeah. And it is. And sometimes these entities will come as a solid form. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you won't even know that you're even speaking or looking at a ghost.
Sure.
Or at an apparition. And even the demonic entities can also impersonate a person that was once living as well. So there are times where, I have seen solid apparitions like that before. Matter of fact, that cemetery, I was doing the investigation on St. Mary's Cemetery, St. Mary's of the Snow Cemetery in Saugerties, New York. Mm-hmm. When my partner, when we were doing the investigation in there, I thought it was my partner looking at me, had the flashlight and everything facing me, and I thought she was being belligerent.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, are you done? Because it was towards the end of the investigation, it was getting cold out, and I couldn't keep my camera set, from shaking. I couldn't stop it from shaking because I was so cold.
Yeah.
And she just stood there and stared at me. And I thought that was odd. So, a jerk that I can be sometimes, I flashed my camera right at her, hoping, I would annoy her. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, I just went back and started doing my thing with the investigations. And I said, oh, fine. She's just ignoring me. And I continued on with my investigation. And then all of a sudden I look and she's gone. But I see her in a different part of the cemetery. And I said, hey, Melody, did I just see you standing over here? And she said, no, I've been on the other side of the cemetery doing the EVPs. And that's when I knew that something wasn't right. So I went through the photographs, and there was a solid apparition standing there, totally different clothes, totally different hair and everything else. And I saw it. It was solid.
Yeah.
And it disappeared, poof, just like that. And that happens. Now, I've seen apparitions where you can see through them. I've seen apparitions where it would be like a mist and it was just floating in one spot. And then it would go through a wall. You know, I've seen lots of things through my 36 years.
Sure.
But this, go ahead.
With this camera, these are stills, obviously, that we have here. Is there, is this a still of a video? Is there a video?
No, this is what I believe it's a motion sensor that she's got there. And what happens is, and I told her, I says, you know, the pixel rate on these cameras are terrible. And she says, I know, well, I don't know much about it, but it works. So what happened is she, whenever there's movement, it goes off. And what she does, I guess it's biweekly, she checks everything, and these things popped up, and that's how she knew. Now, she sent me other figures before, shadow people. That's the reason why I went down there.
Ones that don't, so the shadow people that you've seen don't look so wearing yoga pants.
No.
Because I mean, it's like there's two different photos here that I'm looking at. One of them has a woman that's wearing, I wouldn't say the red one is yoga pants. It looks like slacks or something like that, or sweats. I don't know. And then the other one does look like, it looks like a woman, you know, that was checking out in front of me today at Walmart. You know, if she was really foggy, you know, or from a distance where my glasses are blurry, she doesn't look transparent or anything, but they do look like totally different entities, or different beings, if you will. So she sends you these photos and she's saying, you know, what is this? Does she have any inkling? What sort of things is she experiencing? Is she experiencing anything herself, or is it just things that she's catching on these cameras and kind of seeing after the fact?
Well, I can tell you, what I do know is there are some horrible things that happened to her life, and it was just recent. And that's when the activity started. Now, a client can tell me what they perceive of it, but it's not necessarily the truth of it. And what happened was, her son, that was living there, died of an overdose of heroin. And, that was her only son and that I'm aware of. And, but to this day, she struggles with it. And then she got into an abusive relationship and she's an alcoholic. She starts drinking from 8 o'clock in the morning till nonstop till she goes to bed at night. It's bad. I told her when I went in there, when I saw that in the corner of my eye, that's when I said, okay, I have a couple pieces of a paranormal equipment. I can check this and I'm going to start reading scriptures, had burned the sage, had the holy water, start reciting prayers and started from one end to the room to another, from upstairs, worked all the way down. And then I checked and everything was clear. I had nothing on the thermal, nothing on the infrared, nothing. Okay. So I knew, and I had a sense that the place seemed to be a little more positive. And I told her, I said, before I even went down there, and this is the thing, I tell people, before I go down there, you have to change your ways. You have to fill that void with love. And you have to fill that void with the feeling of God. And change your ways. If you're doing drugs, stop doing drugs. If you're drinking, stop drinking. Change your life. All right. You don't have to go to church, but that's anything positive, put it in your life.
It's essentially, it's not saying you have to be this religion or that or anything. It's just positivity. Right. Fill that void that one may be filling or be stuck in, of negativity with something positive. Otherwise, you'll go nowhere. Right. I mean, positive begets positive. But if you're staying there, that would be it's nearly impossible.
Well, Tony, you know, the thing is they don't do it. Mm-hmm. And I've had the bishop tell me, Bishop Plato told me that you have to fill that void with God of your understanding, or at least I like to say spirituality, because that's peace within yourself and it's all positive.
Sure.
It's basically meaning you can live in your own skin. But it means turning off the TV, turning off the radio, and from away from negativity. That seems to help. And what happened is a lot of people, they don't want to do that. Like sometimes they'll play with occult tools, mm-hmm, or Ouija boards or whatever, or tarot cards, or go to psychics and what have you. And they don't want to stop. It's like an addiction to them, just like alcohol is. They want answers to fulfill voids in their life instead of finding something positive in their life, like God or what have you. And just know that whatever spot you or I are in right now is exactly where our higher power wants us to be. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple. But the problem is people, if they don't change, if they don't do that, the entities will come back, and it will come back worse. The photographs I sent you were the result of a failed cleansing, a failed deliverance. I warned her that if you don't stop drinking and change your life, and even get rid of the abusive people in your life, okay, and start seeking help, either help from the psychologist or whatever, start doing things that are positive. Mm-hmm. These things are going to come back twofold, and it's going to be worse. And as a result, just like Bishop Plato, our exorcist, told us, the results were the same, exactly the same. I should have taken his warning about that, but I figured, let's give it a shot. I want to help people, and I'm just glad nothing bad happened as a result of it yet.
How often do you run into that where it's, someone has an addiction or someone has some sort of mental disorder that needs to be dealt with professionally, not just spiritually, not just, with prayer, but needs psychiatric help or psychological help to get through some of these things, that the two can work hand in hand, where if that person was finding positivity and finding ways of going through those things, but of course they need to want to first, and then if they can go down that path, then it can work hand in hand. There's professional side and a spiritual side, or a medical side and a spiritual side, that can work hand in hand, where, eventually people will just look at these individuals that are suffering from things and just go, well, it's clearly your addiction and you're delusional at some point. But it's not always that. There's other things that go on and then plague those people, and they're kind of stuck in this rut of not going to be believed, not going to be taken seriously, but because their addiction pulls them down. And then other things get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. And, different religions and what have you have different beliefs of a person that's drunk. They have a spirit, like our Christian Bible. It's they have a spirit of the whale and so forth. And they say not to have anything that's fermented. But I do know in cases where a person is using drugs, because one of the number one rules of anybody that's a part of Eastern Shore Paranormal, I tell them that, hey, look, I'm going to show you how to do this safely. You cannot be drinking. You can't be smoking pot, or, I have no problem with people who do. All right. But when you're doing an investigation or something this dangerous, mm-hmm, you don't want to be under the influence of anything, because you're opening yourself up to a lot of these entities, either attachments, But it usually takes a tragedy as well. Now, I have run into quite a few people that were schizophrenic. They were delusional. I had one that was paranoid schizophrenic that she was diagnosed, asking for my help. And the first thing they do, I don't know if it's because they watch too many ghost shows on TV or whatever, and they hear that you're a demonologist, mm-hmm. ghost hunter. They can't wait to call you. And there's a lot of places and people I've turned down because I basically knew that, you know, hey, I probably can't prove it, and maybe I shouldn't get involved because it can get bad. Mm-hmm. You know, or other than that, I'm wasting my time.
Yeah.
Because it's in their own minds.
Sure.
But there's a lot of people that I've helped that are decent people that mm-hmm. don't have problems. Mm-hmm. One of them was a police officer out of Syracuse, and I helped him out, was having a problem. And, you know, so there's people from all walks of life. And you know, and a lot of times when you're vetting people, that's the word I was looking for, you can tell if they're stable or not.
So how did this go with this individual that we're talking about? How did you initially say, okay, they're stable enough to do this, you know, at the beginning?
Well, the thing is my brother doesn't believe in what I do.
Okay.
He's basically afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And for my brother to ask me for help, that's, wow, that's like pulling the tooth out of a pit bull. you know? And I said, sure, Jack, I'll do it, you know? And that's my brother. And I called this woman, and she had me contact the other woman. I started talking to the other woman, and she seemed fine on the phone.
Yeah.
Everything seemed fine. And that's the whole thing. Sometimes it's very deceptive. You know, they seem, hey, I'll do anything. You know, probably their heart's there, but they, for some reason, they have too many excuses and they can't do what needs to be done. Because mm-hmm. okay? You look at it, if you're hurt bad enough, you're willing to do anything, you know,
sure.
to change. But, you know, she was having problems before, but it all, you know, usually in hauntings and what have you, it usually takes an injury or a tragedy to either bring it out as a trigger mm-hmm. or, you know, there's trigger hauntings, you know, where basically they're known as dormant hauntings, where the place isn't haunted at all. Something happens, something bad happened, or, you know, some sort of tragedy. And then all of a sudden you've got a full-fledged haunting. Mm-hmm. Other times, you know, a person moves in, it's haunted. So a lot of times, you know, like the death of your son, she found him dead. And it, you know, she's traumatized from that.
Sure.
So she uses alcohol. And of course, you know, with the alcohol, she gets into bad relationships with people. And it just has spiraled out of control. And, you know, she still wants my help. I still talk to her, but there's nothing I can do. And it kills me. It kills me because I'm just seeing somebody destroying themselves and there's nothing I can do. I give them suggestions, but I can't force anybody. I have to accept the fact that I have no control over other people. But even though my intentions and my heart is good for them, you know, so
had she had any prior to the passing of her son so tragically, did she have a history of experiences or anything like that? Or did this all seem to start up after that tragedy struck?
It happened after the tragedy started, you know, mm-hmm. she was basically a sensitive. She told me basically she always believed such things. When she was little, she saw things mm-hmm. here and there. So I think maybe she had a little bit of empathic ability. Mm-hmm. Her environmental sensitivity was a little higher than the average, mm-hmm. you know? So, but it said that place where she's at it got worse once her son died.
So tell me about that. I mean, obviously, we see these images that are very bizarre. What was going on physically in her world that she was experiencing beyond checking the security camera?
Well, she didn't know who to talk to, and she confided in somebody that, you know, that was close, that happened to be friends with my brother. Mm-hmm. And, hey, you know, I know a paranormal investigator. He's in Saugerties, New York. Well, now I'm in, I relocated to Syracuse just within this month. And so, but what happened is I was during the transition of moving when I was contacted, and I figured, well, you know, I'll just stop up there. And I made a date to be able to assist her.
Yeah.
But then it was like, once I got there, she seemed to be okay. And she says, you know, I don't drink at all. And she was having a beer, and I didn't mind. I didn't mind at all. You know, was she wanted to drink?
Yeah.
I said, sure, no problem. And she was sober.
Yeah. That's how she got to you. But what were some of the things that were happening to her that got you to her, that made you go, okay, beyond just these photos, what is happening to you?
The bed shaking.
Okay.
Which has happened to me before. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Doors popping open or slamming shut.
Okay.
Heavy footsteps going up the stairs to her bedroom.
Okay.
And like a Gestapo knock against the door. Those things I've experienced before. Mm-hmm. So I knew she was telling the truth.
And then
when she sent me the photographs, that's when I knew, Tony.
So
I had to get down there.
So what made you go and say, this is demonic right away? Because you said, like, that's what, if I'm understanding correctly, you could kind of make that judgment call based on what she was telling you and by those photos.
And more than that, when I walked in, I saw in the corner of my eye a shadow imp.
Sure.
Which was just a blink of an eye. And it was like a creepy crawly thing. It was black. It was deformed and it moved very quickly. And I just happened to catch it in the corner of my eye. And a lot of times I can go in these places and I have a sense of dread when I walk in. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that. It was very deceptive. It was a strange case altogether. I didn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. So I started saying, well, you know, here's the photographs. Her stories can jive with my experiences, but I don't feel anything. And so automatically I brought out the Bible, brought out the incense, you know, the sage, and brought out the holy water. And I told her, this is what I need you to do. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. While you're praying, I'm going in through the house, because she didn't like the fact that, you know, she said, well, I really don't want to go outside the house while you do this. And I respected that. And I told her, well, you know, you're risking endangerment yourself if you don't get outside the home. Mm-hmm. And she says, no, that's okay. I want to see this. She says, I've had priests come in here before. I've had a shaman come in here before, and nothing happens. Well, I knew right then and there what the issue was. And I said, well, the reason why it didn't work was because you didn't put the alcohol down and change your life. You know, you're continuously destroying yourself. And also, too, in the corner of her house, she has her son's ashes and has like a memorial with her son, her some of his belongings.
Sure.
So that, too. Okay. Something told me, and I couldn't quite get it out, because I kind of miss having a female investigator next to me, because sometimes women can bring out things more from other women than the man can. Mm-hmm. And I kind of sensed that she was holding something back. All right. But I didn't care. I was going to just help her out anyway. And I went and did this, and it failed. And the only reason why it fails, all right, is just the fact that people are not clients, are willing to change, you know? They're just still in their negativity, or they go back to way they were doing it before, like picking up the bottle, picking up the drugs, or they're going to negativity. You know, the same old, same old. Problem is these entities, the demonic entities, like everything that's negative. Okay, the fighting that goes on in the home, the drinking, the drugging, bad things that are happening, they love it. They thrive on it. And I keep telling people over and over, okay, you've got a problem in this house. The only way that God can work through me to kick these things out is you have to fill that void with God's love and light. You know, so problem is a lot of people don't want to do that. And they wonder why things get worse or things don't change. But yet they keep reaching out people for help, but they're not willing to do it themselves. And unfortunately, even in it with an exorcism, with priests going in and doing exorcisms, that person has to say yes and willing to do anything to have whatever they have in possession, you know, kicked out. It's just a priest can't just go to somebody that's possessed and automatically kick it out without the person wanting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's same thing when I do a deliverance in a home. Okay, they have to change. They have to say, yes, do this, but they have to change.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Peter in part two. What kind of commitment did Peter get from his client after performing the deliverance at the home? If someone needs to get rid of a dark or demonic entity, what do they need to change in their lives? And has Peter ever seen a case where the person surrounded themselves in positivity, yet were consistently plagued by negative energy or entities seemingly impossible to get away? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.